You'll find it on page 1140 in the Pew Bible. 1140 in the Pew Bible. John chapter 10, Jesus proclaims himself here to be the good shepherd. Jesus speaking here in his earthly ministry, John 10 verse 1, the very word of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Congregation of Christ, it's a very special day to witness three professions of faith and a baptism. And yet it's a day of entry into a life not of ease, but a life of struggle. Remember the Apostle Paul, when he went around to strengthen the churches he had planted, he announced to them that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations. Christian life is a life of trial, it's a life of trouble. But it's also a life of comfort and joy. And the comfort and joy is that Jesus Christ has promised to be our shepherd. It's been said that of all the portrayals of Christ in the scriptures, that for many, of course, this portrayal, Jesus as the shepherd, is among the favorites, or the very favorite. It's one of the most beloved portrayals of Christ in the Bible. Say, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Jesus Christ with the sheep. And we know that many have found comfort in it. many believers, and also perhaps many who are not committed to Christ have attempted to find comfort in this. This idea of Christ as a shepherd is kind of the standard Christian art. Many painting Jesus as a shepherd carrying sheep on his shoulders or in his arms. If you go to funeral homes, it's often Psalm 23 that's found in the memorial leaflet that's given out. The comfort here in John 10 is not for everybody. It's for the sheep who belong to Jesus, who've been taken hold of and who are committed to Him. And it's for all those who will come to Jesus in faith. This morning we set our eyes upon the comforts that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He's our shepherd by way of authority, and He's our shepherd by way of attachment. I want you to see that in verses 2 through 4 this morning, that Jesus Christ is our shepherd by authority given Him by God, first of all, and then He is our shepherd by the attachment or the bond that He has created. Well, verse 2, let me begin at verse 1. John 10, 1, Jesus says that he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. Now, boys and girls, what Jesus is thinking of here is something very common in his day. It was of a kind of corral or a sheep pen. And not the kind of sheep pen that you might have at home, your private corral, maybe your courtyard where you keep your few sheep. But they had in Palestine in Jesus' day some communal corral, some community sheep pens, which would be independent structures, larger structures, roofless structures made up of a wall of stacked stones, and then one point of entrance where there stood a door, a sturdy door. And what would happen is that shepherds in the afternoon or evening would bring their flocks to these community corrals and check in their sheep, and they would leave, and the door would be shut, and a man was hired. He was a professional gatekeeper whose task it was to guard those sheep and guard that door until a shepherd returned to get his sheep and to take them out to pasture again. Now, Jesus says here that when the shepherd comes, the one who owns the sheep, or the one who's been appointed by the owner to take care of the sheep, the one who's authorized, when he arrives, the gatekeeper recognizes him, he knows him, he opens the gate to him. The shepherd uses the door, of course. But anyone who's not authorized to take these sheep, they try another way, not the door. If it's like going to work, if you work in a place that's secured, if you're a legitimate employee, you come through the front gate, stop at the guard station, you flash your ID, you come in. But if you're a robber or a thief, you don't go in the main entrance. You sneak in the back at night. What is Christ saying here? Christ is saying that He is the fulfillment of all the imagery of shepherding throughout the Bible. Christ is the shepherd. He comes for His sheep. The gatekeeper opens. He recognizes that to Jesus Christ has been given the access to the flock. They are His. The gatekeeper surrenders them to Him. What comes to our mind as you read John 10 is perhaps Ezekiel chapter 34, where the Lord through the prophet rebukes the false shepherds of Israel, the kings and religious leaders who would abuse the sheep in the Old Testament. They wore the wool, they slaughtered the sheep, but God says, "The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." God was so angry with the false shepherds of His people. In Jesus' day, the abuse continues. In John chapter 9, Christ heals a blind man. And when the blind man refused to try to throw Christ under the bus, but instead confesses that this Jesus has healed him, the religious leaders cast him out of the synagogue. The religious leaders are not leading the sheep to the Messiah. They are cutting off the sheep from the Messiah, trying to rob Christ of His flock. And it still continues today, doesn't it? False shepherds. Some of them are on TV. And they may even hold up the Bible and pretend that the Bible is their authority. But then you listen to what they preach and it's not the message of the Bible. False shepherds. R.V.G. Tasker put it this way, 50 years ago, all who hold out before men and women the prospect of a higher and better life, apart from the necessity of redemption through the blood of Jesus, are deceivers, spiritual charlatans. Anyone who preaches their own personality, their own philosophy of life, their own ideas, instead of preaching Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead, is a deceiver, a false shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, the Lord has a solution to false shepherds. He says, I will come and shepherd the flock myself. I will gather. I will bind up the wounds. I will get back my scattered flock. And I will do that through my servant, David. Well, David was long dead, but there was going to come a son of David who has now come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ here is making this magnificent claim in John 10. I am the good shepherd. I'm the one appointed by God. I'm the one sent by God. I'm the one who has come with authority to lay claim to the sheep. I come to the gate and it must open. And I must have my flock. Notice with what jealousy Jesus speaks of his sheep. He says in verse 26 to the Jews that you, these unbelieving Jews, you are not part of my flock. But then he says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Jesus has absolutely no doubt about who he is. He has no doubt about his right to the flock. He has no doubt about his authority to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Shepherd. Jesus Christ is the one appointed by God to save us. And so he knows us. He knows us by name. He knows us thoroughly. The Father has given him the sheep, and the Father has given him specific sheep, the elect, the chosen from before the creation of the world. And Jesus is authorized to know us as our shepherd. Think of your medical doctor, perhaps. Your medical doctor knows you in a way no one else knows you, right? Because he or she is authorized to read your medical history. He or she is authorized to examine your body. He or she knows you. Or you think of your parents. They too are authorized, if you're a child, authorized to know you in a way nobody else knows you. To live with you, to teach you, to direct your life, to speak to you day and night. Jesus knows his sheep. He says in verse 3 that he calls them by name. Shepherds of Palestine were known for naming their sheep. Naming them sometimes according to specific characteristics. Long nose or black ears. Whatever it would be. But they lived with these sheep. They cared for these sheep for years. It's an amazing thing, right? This morning we've had four people stand before us whom God knows by name. Cassie and Kendra and Jeff, Allie, the Lord knows your names. Hear the Lord speak to Alistair in baptism by name. It's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing that Christ knows us. We'll have days in our lives where we wonder, does anybody know me? Does anybody care about me? Has everybody forgotten me? And Jesus says, I still know you. I still know your name. I know you in your strengths and in your weaknesses and your failures and in your joys. I know you in all of your trials, and I know what's best for you. What does Christ do for us as the shepherd? He's authorized and appointed by God to be our shepherd, but what does that entail? Well, it entails everything. Sheep are one of the most needy creatures on earth. They're needy because they're vulnerable. They have no natural defenses. When enemies come, they don't have fangs. They don't have claws. They don't have horns by which to run down an enemy. They're really sitting ducks. Or sheep, I guess. They have no natural wisdom. They're said to walk the same rutten trail right past good grass not too far away, even though the land they're in, the pasture they're in, is withered away. They have no natural strength. We hear about sheep who are cast. I just read a story of a couple Americans who were traveling in Europe, Christians. They're driving out in the countryside, and they saw a sheep laying on the ground with its legs in the air. Figured it was a dead sheep. And then one of them remembered, what was that thing about cast sheep? They get turned on their back and they can't right themselves? And the other guy driving, the other Christian brother said, no, you've read too much. But after a while, they decided to go back and they'd check, and sure it was a pregnant sheep, turned over on her back, legs stuck in the air, bleeding away, and unable to right herself. So they set her right on her feet, and she was thankful. Sheep are helpless. What does Christ do for us? Helpless, sinful, wayward sheep? He does everything. He protects us from our enemies. He brings us into green pastures, the paths of righteousness for God's sake. He nourishes us, guides us, does everything for us. He says in verses 3 and 4 that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Western shepherds may drive their sheep with their sheepdogs, but Eastern shepherds, they led their sheep by calling out to them, and the sheep followed. They led them to the good pastures and the safe places. Christ has been appointed by God to lead us. It's amazing. The living God has sent his own beloved Son to bring us all the way to glory. That's his great desire. It's a great task. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Christ is the most determined, the most faithful shepherd in all of the world. He is going to bring his sheep to glory, no doubt about it. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you will undoubtedly sit in heaven with him forever. Christ will not fail. He won't give away his task to a hired hand, but he's always in charge. Even where under-shepherds, ministers, and elders may fail, Christ will not fail. I am the good shepherd. Christ loves us so much. He says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, he might run away. He's not going to sacrifice his life for $5 an hour. But Christ, even when the wolf comes, Christ stays the course. He even goes to the cross to lay down his life, to die for our sins. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Willingly, Jesus gave his life for us. With authority, he laid down his life, saying, I have come to save them. An amazing shepherd we have. Died for our sins, and now he keeps us and preserves us. Won't let anyone, not even Satan, snatch us out of his hand. He's been commissioned by God for this task, and he will not fail. Who is this Jesus who's in our life? He's the one with authority from on high. Maybe at some point in our life we feel the call. We have to sacrifice something. We have to take up our cross and follow, and it's hard, and we want to say, who is this that's demanding me to give up this and to go this way? The answer is Jesus, with authority from heaven. Maybe as parents, we get upset sometimes when we see something happening in our child's life. They're being called somewhere, and we had hoped they'd go this way, but the Lord wants them to take this career choice or whatever it be, this vocation. Maybe it makes our family plans not what we hoped they would be. Maybe it interrupts our family plans. Who is this who's intruding in my child's life? It's the Lord Jesus, with authority. Or maybe some days you are walking in sin and you know it. The word has told you so, your brothers and sisters have told you so, your elders have told you so, and you won't turn away from your sin. And you're saying to yourself, who has a right to tell me I have to give this up? And the answer is, the Lord Jesus has the right, clothed with authority from on high. Jesus is authorized to be our shepherd, to demand our lives, to lay down his life for our sins, to do everything it takes to bring us to glory. He's speaking to you this morning. He's calling you to find that comfort in him. And he's calling you to bow beneath his word and to follow him. Christ is our shepherd by authority. Notice secondly, Christ is also our shepherd by attachment, by a bond. Verse 3, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. What an amazing bond. Picture again that communal corral, that community sheep pen. Many flocks are kept in it. Many shepherds have deposited their sheep there the night before. But as the shepherd comes to the sheep pen and he's given entrance, what does he do? He stands there, begins to call out to his sheep. And all the ones in that mass of sheep that belong to him perk up their ears, lift up their bodies, stand up, and come. It's an amazing thing. They don't have to go through the sheep and check the tags on them. But the ones who belong to this shepherd hear his voice and come. I read that even shepherds have tried to trick sheep. They've put on the clothing of a different shepherd. But when they come and stand there and call the sheep, their own sheep recognize their voice no matter what they're wearing. And they come. They come and they follow. Jesus has a bond with his sheep. Glorious bond. He's come into the world and he stands at the sheep pen of the Jews, Judaism. And he calls, and some of these covenant people, Jews, are coming to him. They recognize the Messiah. And others who are not his sheep, they're just dull and blind to his call. Christ comes into the world. And strangely enough, this call of Christ, it separates. We look all around us. At work, there's one guy who's a Christian, one guy who's not. What's happened? The voice of Jesus has gone out, and one has recognized that cry of Christ, and one has not. It's a glorious thing that the shepherd doesn't have to come and coerce and cajole. He doesn't have to come and grab his sheep or bind them up and drag them. He just speaks. What do we do here at church? We come and we listen to the word preached, the word proclaimed. Something powerful happens, right? Here we just read this word, then we proclaim what the word says, and things are happening in lives. People are coming, some visitors come and they stay, some come and they hear nothing and they walk away forever. What's going on? The shepherd's speaking. Those who are his sheep recognize his voice. The three have made profession this morning, I think you would all say. I think you've all told me in different ways that the past months or couple years, the Lord has spoken to you in different ways, right? That a voice that you didn't hear, or at least not in the same way, has become so much louder and clearer to you. Isn't that glorious that you can thank God for his Spirit to give you ears to hear, right? To recognize Jesus is calling me. What a task, Jeff and Kendra, for you to teach Allie to recognize that voice. To teach Allie to hear the voice of the shepherd and to follow him. It is the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit alone that can give spiritual understanding, for the unspiritual man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. But the sheep of Jesus listen to his voice and they follow him. Jesus goes out before us and we must follow him. That's our calling. As he guides us, He leads us in those ways of the Lord, as He takes us to His kingdom forever. It's not always an easy path, is it? Christ leads us along some difficult ways, along some difficult trails, through some dark valleys, along some cliffs. But do we trust Him? Jesus says His sheep trust Him. It's an amazing thing with sheep that they will follow their shepherd anywhere. They trust that voice. They trust that one who cares for them. Jesus Christ is our shepherd by a bond. The Spirit has created a bond of faith. And we say when we profess faith, I will die to the world. I give up everything, anything to follow Jesus wherever He'll take me. I'm not my own. I belong to Him, body and soul. He's my shepherd. Christ is our shepherd by this glorious attachment. You who profess faith this morning have said that. I will follow Jesus every day, anywhere, all the time. With my money, my time, with my future, with my todays. Jesus is the good shepherd. We live in a world where so many people have no idea what the purpose of life is. A world where so many people wander about, their own stubborn, ignorant sheep that they are. They're open prey for the enemy. They don't know how to find true food. They do get cast, lying on their back and unable to move. But the one who pretended to be their shepherd, Satan, is glad to leave them to die. I am the good shepherd. The thief came only to kill and steal and destroy, but I have come that they may have life, abundant life. Give my life so they can have life, Jesus says. I'll give them eternal life and no one will take them from me. This is the shepherd that we have. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. But in all these tribulations, He who is with us, He who goes before us, is the Lord Jesus. If this morning you don't know that Lord Jesus, if this morning Christ is not truly your shepherd, if this morning you like Psalm 23, but you don't follow Jesus wherever He calls you. You're still going to do your own thing. And then you're rejecting the shepherd. The summons for all of us this morning is to hear the voice and to follow Him. There's no one more worthy of that commitment. There's no one else who is authorized to save sinners. There's no one else who has the commission or the power or the commitment to bring sheep to heaven. I am the good shepherd. There is no one else. This morning, let us find our comfort in Christ. Let us run to Him. Let us hear His voice and His word, for He is a gentle and a gracious shepherd and turns away no one who comes to Him. Respond in faith, humble confession of our need, our sin, and that delight, gratitude that God has given us the Savior. Amen. Our Father in heaven, how we thank You for the Lord Jesus, how undeserving we are of such a shepherd. Thank You for not giving us a shepherd according to who we are, but according to who You are. Well, Father, we praise You for the professions of faith this morning where You have been owned and acknowledged. Thank You, Lord, that Your name is praised as sheep.